I want to thank everyone for listening. This year is dedicated in memory of my father, Le'il Nishmat Rav Zev Nechemia ben Rav Ephraim Michal Halevi, on his 7th Yahrzeit, Yudchet Kislev. And I thank you all for listening. I wanted to share some ideas about Chanukah and two different models of Hadlakat Neirot, of lighting the candles of Chanukah. We think, of course, that Chanukah is a very simple, straightforward holiday, at least in terms of its laws, but Chazal discussed and dissected these laws in such a way that, in fact, they become complicated. They yield deep insights into the way Chazal perceive the world, and I think also have ramifications for us today. There's a basic halacha that we're aware of. The Gemara quotes it in Shabbat Daf Chav Gimel. Hadlaka usa mitzvah velo hanacha. The mitzvah of Chanukah is in hadlaka, in lighting the candles, and not hanacha, placing the candles somewhere. Meaning in the simple case, if a person is holding a menorah in his hand, lights it, even l'shem mitzvah, for the purpose of Chanukah, and then puts the menorah down, then he doesn't fulfill a mitzvah. He's not yotzei. In fact, he'd have to extinguish the candles and light it again, and even with a bracha. So in Tav Resh Ayin Hey, the Mechaber states, u'mikol mokom tzarech she'adlikena b'mkom anachata. In any event, you have to light the candles in the place where they are going to be placed, meaning where they will remain. Shem hidliko b'fnim v'otzia lachutz. If you lit the Chanukah candles inside the house, and then you brought it outside the house, lo yotza, the person is not yotze, the mitzvah of Chanukah. The reason being is that when you light the menorah, and then carry it somewhere else, it looks like Shaharoa Omer Litzarko Madlika. An onlooker, and we all know that the mitzvah of Chanukah, of Pirsa Menes, is designed to attract the attention of passersby, especially Jews, perhaps even only Jews, and see the candles, think of the miracle, and think of the glorious salvation that God wrought for our people. Whereas if a person lights the menorah and takes it and puts it in another place, the implication is litzarkohu madlika. He's not lighting it for the purpose of pirsum haneis, publicizing the miracle, but rather he's lighting it for some other purpose. Hadlaka osa mitzvah. That's the basic principle, and as the Gemara concludes, that's why we say the bracha, v'tzivanu lahadlik ner shel Chanukah. God commanded us to light the candle of Chanukah, and not lehaniach ner shel Chanukah. The mitzvah is hadlaka. Fine, we could all accept that. I hope we do accept that. And yet, in Tav Resh Ayin Aleph, the Mechaber is discussing another halacha entirely, of placement of the menorah, where you're supposed to light it. So in Siv Vav, Manichol Lamala Mishloshot Tfachim, the menorah has to be placed above 3 Tfachim, U'mitzvah L'nichol Lamata Me'asar Tfachim. The mitzvah is to place the menorah somewhere between, say, 10 inches and 40 inches, or 12 inches and 40 inches, roughly. But if you put it even higher than 10 tvachim, yotzei. Aval lemanicho lemala me'asrim ama lo yotzei. If a person lights his menorah, it's placed higher than 20 amot, roughly 35, 36 feet high, you're not yotzei. We're not talking about a case of a person in an apartment building, because there the room itself is not 20 amot high, regardless of the distance from the outside, although some say if you're that high, then the passersby can't see it. It's much better to light the candles on the table indoors, meaning the Pirsum HaNes will be solely for those who are inside the home, the family, rather than those outside. Fine. V'afil l'kacha, this is a Rama, afil l'kacha kach daluk, v'nicha l'mato me'asrim, lo yatza, tahadlaka osa mitzvah. If you lit the candles above, higher than the height of 20 amot, and then you placed it lower than 20 amot, you're also not yotze, because that's the halacha that we discussed. Hadlaka osa mitzvah, not hanacha. You fulfill the mitzvah through the lighting and not through the placing. So it seems very straightforward. You have to light the Hanukkah menorah. They say in Israel, the Chanukiah, where it's going to stay. You can't move it. Hadlaka osa mitzvah, not hanacha. And yet, the Mishnah Berurah says, and apparently without any argument, Aval imhidlika l'mata me'esrim, unitala misham, v'nicha b'makom acher toch esrim, yotze. If you light the menorah, a height lower than 20 amot, and then you move it to another place, also lower than 20 amot, yotze, the person has fulfilled the mitzvah. Tahavi hadlaka mimkama, you're lighting the menorah in the place where it's supposed to be lit, lower than 20 amot, d'shne mekamot ksherim. Both those places are fit for the hadlaka of the menorah and the fulfillment of the mitzvah. But whatever happened to this halacha of hadlaka osa mitzvah, not hanacha? Here the person is taking the menorah after he lit it and putting it in another place. Why isn't that a violation of the principle of hadlaka osa mitzvah? So, to give an example that's common, let's say a person lights the menorah on the windowsill, and then for whatever reason does not like that place on the windowsill, and he moves it 3 feet to the right or 3 feet to the left. Well, we're trained not to do that. But yet, according to the Mishnah Berurah, that would be acceptable, because both of them, shnei mekamot ksherim, whether it's on the left side of the sill or the middle or the right side, all those places are fit, appropriate for the mitzvah of Ner Chanukah. But then how does that fit into the concept of hadlaka osa mitzvah and not hanacha? Said another way, what's the difference? Because remember the cases now that we address with the Mechaber use, the Gemara as well, instances of a violation of hadlaka osa mitzvah. One is he lit bifnim inside and took it bachutz, or for that matter, lit bachutz, took it bifnim, or lit lamala me'asrim, higher than 20 amot, and then brought it lower than 20 amot. What's the difference between those cases and the case of when it's lower than 20 amot, you move it from one place to another place, but all within 20 amot? In any event, it's not the hanacha, it's a hanacha rather, that's not in the place of the hadlaka. So how then is a person yotze? We can answer that question by looking at another fascinating halacha. That's a question that the Achronim asked and dealt with at length. Is there a preference between lighting bachutz and lighting bifnim? Meaning, we're all aware that in the time of the Gemara, well, the Gemara states that the mitzvah of Hanukkah is to light a ner petach beito, at the entrance to a person's house, meaning bachutz. The mitzvah of Ner Chanukah is to light outdoors where people are able to see the Ner Chanukah. So the time of the Gemara, that's the way it was lit. Chaf Aleph Amabet in Shabbat. And the Gemara continues. The Mahadrin, the people who are stringent, want to beautify the mitzvah, they do this. Each family member lights. Mahadrin, mina mahadrin, each family member lights the number of nights, which is really what we do. But, the Gemara says, uveshat ha-sakana manichol shulchano b'dayo, in a time of danger, then a person just places the menorah on his table, v'dayo, and that is sufficient. He lights there. So the question is, from the Gemara's language, it would seem that manichol shulchanov b'shata sakana, if it's a situation of danger, then you light indoors. Otherwise, you have to light outdoors. So if not a situation of danger, you'd have to light outdoors. Well, is that so? Is a person allowed to light indoors, notwithstanding that he can light outdoors? So this is taken up by the Achronim, and it's cited in the Dirshu Mishnah Berurah. He quotes first the Sfat Emet, answering the question, in our day, in the land of Israel, when there's no sakana, are you obligated to light outdoors? So HaTemet said, no, you're still Yotzei B'diavad, you're Yotzei post facto, you fulfill the mitzvah of Ner Chanukah, because once the Gemara established Shat HaSakana as an option, then when the Gemara says, mitzvah la'nichal petach beitob mibachutz, it's a mitzvah to light outside, that means a mitzvah l'chadchilo, ab initio. But if a person can't, he can't. So in fact, according to this idea, the Sfat Emet holds that the Gemara gave us two separate forms of fulfilling the mitzvah. Two independent forms, alternate forms. You can light indoors or you can light outdoors. Another way to look at it is as Rav Moshe Feinstein did. And he said that there was no takana miyuchedet of shata sakana. There was no special ordinance of what to do in a situation of danger. Meaning, it's not as if Chazal said, this is what you have to do outside, and in these circumstances, light indoors. No, Chazal presented us with plausible, equal opportunities. There's no special takana. The original takana was, you could light outdoors. Maybe l'chadchil you should light outdoors, but b'diavad, if you light indoors, dayo, that is sufficient. There's nothing else to say. And Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach held similarly, that if you light indoors when you could light outdoors, especially in the land of Israel, where there's no sakana, so that a person is yotzei, and there's no problem, there's nothing to talk about. There's another opinion. And that's the opinion of the Griz, Rabbi Yitzchak Zev Soloveitchik, the Briska Rav, Rabbi Velvel Soloveitchik, who said no. That the takana of Bishata Sakana is a takana miyuchedet. It's a special ordinance that only applies Bishat Sakana in a time of danger. And if there's no danger, then it's completely usher to do. You can't do it. Thus, to give an example, which actually happened to him, let's say in Israel, so once the Briska Rav lit indoors because the weather was inclement, it was rainy, very windy, and so the candles could not have survived outside for a half hour. But then after he lit indoors, he saw that the rain stopped and the wind stopped as well. So the Briska Rav said, you're obligated to go and light outdoors because that is the primary fulfillment of the mitzvah, v'chein osa maaseh, and that's in fact what he did. To the extent that Rav Elyashiv held that if a person, following this reasoning, that it's not a special takana, but in fact it is the primary mode of fulfillment of the mitzvah, Rav Elyashiv held that if a person can light outdoors but chooses to light indoors, he's not yotzei the mitzvah. Lo yotzei yedei chovato. He has not filled his obligation of Ner Chanukah. It's really a far-reaching concept. There are many people even today who could light outdoors, but for whatever reason prefer to light indoors. According to Rav Elyashiv, such a person is not yotzei the mitzvah. Wow. That is something to think about. The question is why? What's the difference in the two opinions? With this understanding of the Griz, of the Briska Rav, we can answer the question that we had on the Mishnah Brura. How could he permit someone to move the Chanukiah from one place to another if the Chanukiah was lit lower than 20 amot and is being moved to another place lower than 20 amot? According to the Briska Rav, it comes out that there are two tzurot hamitzvah when it comes to Ner Chanukah. Two forms through which the mitzvah can be fulfilled. There's a tzurot hamitzvah of bifnim, of lighting indoors, and there's a tzurot hamitzvah of bachutz, of lighting outdoors. They're two different tzurot hamitzvah, and in fact, they eventuate in the fact that there are two different kiyumei hamitzvah. There's a kiyum hamitzvah, fulfillment of the mitzvah of lighting inside, and there's a totally different fulfillment of the mitzvah of lighting outside. So now we can understand the cases in the Gemara and the Mechaber and the Mishnah Brura. When a person lights, remember Tav Reish Ayin Hey, when a person lights Bifnim, and then he takes the menorah, place it Bachutz, he's moved the menorah from a place where the Kiyum HaMitzvah was of one nature to another place where the Kiyum HaMitzvah was of a completely different nature. A totally separate Surat HaMitzvah and a totally separate Kiyum HaMitzvah. So, of course, there you're not Yotzei, because we say Hadlaka Osa Mitzvah, not Halacha. Or so too, if a person lit above 20, where you're not Yotzei, and then he brings the menorah lower than 20, where you are Yotzei, so he's taking the menorah from a place where there's no Kiyum HaMitzvah to a place where there is a Kiyum HaMitzvah. That change can't happen. You can only move the menorah where the Kiyum HaMitzvah partakes of the exact same level. That's the case of lower than 20 amot. You move it to another place lower than 20 amot, or a case of the windowsill. I should hasten to add that it's not recommended to move the menorah in any event, because as the Gemara has said, a person outdoors, an onlooker, will see the menorah being moved and he'll deduce that it's not for the purpose of the mitzvah, but rather it's for the purpose of litzarko. He wants better light on one part of the room and not another part of the room. But indeed, if a person would see that he fears that the menorah on the sill is a little too close to the curtain, and so he moves it over a few feet, so according to this, consult your rabbi for the psak, but according to this theory, there'd be nothing wrong with it. Because in fact, he has not changed the nature of the Kiyum HaMitzvah. The Kiyum HaMitzvah remains exactly the same. With this idea, we can understand something else that's fascinating as well. If we're saying there's two Tzura HaMitzvah, or two Kiyume HaMitzvah, so why in fact should that be? After all, the action that you're doing is the same action. You're lighting the candles. What's the difference whether you're lighting indoors or outdoors? And the answer would be why they're different tzurot and different kiyumim is that there's a profound difference between pirsum hanes that takes place, that results as from lighting outdoors, and the pirsum hanes that results from lighting indoors. The pirsum hanes outdoors is designed for the world, for onlookers, for passers-by. Rav Moshe emphasized it's not for Gentiles, it's only for Jews. But nonetheless, to remind Jews of the mitzvah, that too is important. That a Jew should see a menorah and then get a little pep in our step and remember Hanukkah, remember what God did for us. So that's one fulfillment of the mitzvah. It's a wholly different fulfillment of the mitzvah, Kiyum mitzvah, when it takes place indoors. Because then it's not the outside world that's being impressed, illuminated by the candles, but rather it's our inside world. It's our family and no one else. Manichol shulchano vidayo. We fudge it by putting it in the window, but again, that's still considered bifnim. It's not considered bachutz. Why does this matter? So I think here's the point that is so interesting, and the ramifications for us are dramatic. It helps us understand the various dimensions of Hanukkah itself. You see, why do we light candles? What are we so happy about? The fact is, it's the war that was the real miracle, that we triumphed under such circumstances. As we know, the War of Hanukkah was first and foremost a civil war amongst Jews against the backdrop of a Hellenized land of Israel. The candles, what do they really represent? What the candles represent are tahara, the purity of Jewish life, kedusha, the sanctity of the Torah, and above all, as Chazal said, the Rav quoted this, that the lighting of the candles, the candle itself, and that the menorah burnt in the Beit HaMikdash, is Eidut Nemana L'chol Boi Olam Shashchina Shara B'Yisrael. It was testimony to the entire world, to everyone, and particularly to us as Jews, that the Divine Presence rests among us. When the land of Israel was Hellenized, in fact, the Beit HaMikdash was overrun, defiled, and controlled by the Hellenists for 3 years, the Shekhinah departed. There was no divine presence in the land of Israel, none for the Jewish people. When the war erupted, and when the Hashmonim were triumphant, and they came to the Beit HaMikdash, and they cleansed it from its defilement, and they lit the menorah with that one jug that bore the seal of the Kohen Gadol, and it burned for 8 days, that was Eidud Nemanah. That was faithful, true testimony that the Shekhinah has returned. The divine presence rests in among the Jewish people. In the land of Israel, the preference is to light bachutz. Of course, again, depending on the weather. You light outside, I think, because in the land of Israel, it's the external world that needs perfection. You know, people's homes, people do what they want. It was no different in the midbar, in everyone's ohel, everyone's tent. People do what they want. You hope their homes are holy, but there's no doubt homes are influenced by what happens outside. In the land of Israel, the struggle for Kedusha and Tahara, in fact, the struggle to see, to perceive the Shekhinah, takes place outside in the realm of society. And all the struggles that we have today, the exact same thing. The arguments over Shabbat in public and Kashrut in public and Geirut conversion and marriage and divorce, etc. These are societal issues, all of them. They affect the nation. Therefore, the preference in the land of Israel is to light outdoors, because this way we are transmitting this notion that the Shekhinah exists in the Jewish people, and we want all Jews to look at the menorah, remember the miracle, and pledge themselves to perfect the society, to try to make the society a little more Torah-oriented, a little holier, so that the divine presence becomes stronger and stronger. That's in the land of Israel. It's almost a secondary option. As the Gris said, it's really no option at all. Rav Yosef said, it's no option at all. You must light outside, because it's bachutz that the pirsum hanes is going to be most effective. In the galut, it's a little different. It's a little different in the galut, but nonetheless, the ramifications are equally dramatic. If within the land of Israel, we can't help but be influenced by what happens outside, so we have to counteract any harmful cultural influences by hadlaka b'chutz. Because Israel, after all, is meant to be a Jewish society. It's meant to be a Torah society, but certainly a Jewish society. The Jewish state, Medina Yehudit, it's supposed to be a Jewish state. So it's influencing the public realm that's going to have the most effect on the internal realm. In the galut, it's different. And in the galut, people light outdoors if they can. I used to light outdoors, but people light indoors as well. And that's because the battle is different. In America, for example, it's impossible for Jews to change the culture. And we're fighting. Western man, I would say even normal Western man, is fighting an uphill battle against the cultural onslaught that is so degenerate and so dysfunctional that it's hard to imagine. I can't imagine, for example, raising children today in this environment, and I don't envy those who do. You know, I was a kid in the 60s, and the 60s were known as a wild decade. Yeah. But the wildness of the 60s is not only mainstream today, it's even a little staid. The wildness of the 60s is passé today. What you couldn't do at all, what was considered horrifying, shocking, graphic in the 60s. So you want to protect children and any decent person from it. So that every day you could see that on television, hear it on the radio, see it on YouTube. You could see it on billboards when you ride on the highways. Every type of deviance that exists in the world from morality, that is now front and center. It's a losing battle Jews are fighting. But nonetheless, the effort we make is, even in such a case, light the Hanukkah menorah outside, to show that at least this one home is a bastion of Tahara, a bastion of Kedusha. But that's not enough, because the best we could hope for in the exile is to be partly successful. That's the best. Partly successful in transforming the culture. Where can we be entirely successful? Bezrat Hashem, that's inside the home. Uvishat ha-sakana manichol shulchano v'dayo. In a time of danger, and here it says it's not just physical danger, it's a time of spiritual danger. In a time of spiritual danger, we have to guard our homes. We have to illuminate our homes. We have to know what we can let into our homes and what we have to keep out. We have to monitor what our children are seeing and what they're not seeing. What we say, no, this will destroy the Jewish soul. This will harm their innocence. That is the purpose of Hadlaka Bifnim, of lighting the candles inside. There's no doubt that Tarbut Yavan, the culture of Greece, of Hellenism, really today of Westernism, that seeps in. We think we can control it. We can't really control it. It seeps in. It's very hard to contain. What we have to do is at least spot it from a distance, like an enemy that's lurking, and try to build barriers against it the best we can. But it's a constant struggle every day. Inside our homes, in the exile, that's where the true battle is, in the exile. Outside our homes, in the land of Israel, that's where the true battle is there. There it's a battle for society to influence all Jews so they should be proud of their heritage and want to observe the mitzvot of the Torah. Outside the land of Israel, it's not a struggle for society. It's a struggle for survival as individuals, as families, as communities. That's the struggle. Indeed, hadlaka osa mitzvah. It's the lighting of the Ner Chanukah that is the mitzvah, not the hanocha. But we see there are two tzurot ha-mitzvah, the tzura bifnim and the tzura bachutz. The kiyum bifnim and the kiyum bachutz. There's an obligation of lighting inside, and there's a totally different obligation of lighting outside. Each lighting has its own purposes. The action may be the same, but each lighting has a different purpose. One is directed towards society, and one is directed internally towards ourselves, our families, and our children. My father died a week before Chanukah, Yudchet Kislev, and he was born on Chanukah. And one thing that he always gave us, his children, his grandchildren, his great-grandchildren, was pride in being a Jew, knowing how to keep the culture at bay, and knowing as well how to fortify our own homes. So they remain fortresses of Torah in a world which is very, very turbulent. And together with my mother, she should live and be well, they succeeded in a way that I pray is L'Shem Ul Tiferet. I thank you again for listening. May his neshama have an aliyah, Tehei Nishmoto Tzura B'Tzor HaChayim. Thank you very much.